Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to the blog Music Art Culture. I am your host, Dominique. Yes. So I'm very excited. We're going to do a couple of recaps. First off, let's start here. You are listening to the blog Music Art Culture, and you can keep the conversation going by following us on social media. So that's Instagram at Music Art Culture, and also on Twitter at MACEF Public Arts. Again, on Twitter at MACEF Public Arts, and on Instagram at Music Art Culture. Quick news flash, just in case you forgot, or you are hearing it for the first time, guess what? MACEF, the Music Art Culture Education Foundation, is having an anti-bullying contest. So if you head over to our website, musicartculture.org, you can see all of the info under new events. The new events tab is the first thing that pops up. It's an anti-bullying campaign really geared towards middle school students. That is 6th through 8th grade. I know some high schools in California and the Los Angeles area or surrounding areas, for some, they do have 8th grade as the freshmen, you know, 8th grade to 12th grade. But if you have a traditional middle school, it's typically 6th through 8th these days. However, if you know a young person between grades 6 through 8th, feel free to tell them to log on. Go to musicartculture.org, get involved. And all they do is they write about the importance of friendship, if they've ever dealt with bullying, how not to be a bully, and basically how to encourage others to do the same. And the cool thing is, they get rewarded. Yes, we will acknowledge a response. And the response that we think is noteworthy, we definitely want to share it not only on our social media, but we also want to acknowledge the student. And they will be rewarded with some goodies. All for doing good. In the name of what? Doing good, yes. So keep in mind, October is Bullying Prevention Month, and that's something, it's a great way to launch a new activity if you want to start some new habits with your young ones. A great way to do that is getting them involved in something positive, or continuing to keep them involved in positive activities that will highlight the importance of not being a bully, because it's really easy to point the finger, right? When we're thinking and we're starting to formulate these ideas and have these discussions, they're at a sensitive age, it's middle school, and we want to make sure that they're reflecting their thoughts in a positive way that allows them to articulate themselves, but also not invade other people's feelings about who they are and affect them in a negative way. So it's just about being aware of our words. Yes, so musicartculture.org, head over to the website and you can hear more on that under new events. Really excited. Recap on the weekend. I had a great weekend. I know we are in Halloween season. For some, it's been Halloween all month long. But for me, I didn't go to any Halloween activities this past weekend. Actually, I had something a bit more engaging to do, and I'll share it with you. What did I do? Well, I celebrated my dad and my stepmother's 20th year wedding anniversary, and it was just really spiritual to be there. It was amazing, something to witness and experience with them, in support of them. And yes, it's amazing. Cheers to 20 years and cheers to 20 more. It was this past Saturday at one of my dad's favorite restaurants. It's a local diner over in the area. I won't say where it is, but it's a really great place, really great food, and it's like a local hotspot that a lot of people love. It's well known throughout the community, and they serve great breakfast, and that's where he wanted to be. So she was lovely to accommodate him, and I think it was really a personal touch to the whole evening because she was really engaged in the activities, and he just went along with it. So I think that's why they make a great couple.
She is the yin to his yang, and they figured out how to make it work. I'm very proud of my father, and I am very happy for my stepmother, and proud of her willingness to show her display of love and commitment to him, and to share that in a place where he's most comfortable. Even though it wasn't one of her favorite spots, but it's definitely one of his and one of mine, because we always meet there every Saturday. So cheers to them. Cheers to another 20. And cheers to anyone who has family members out there who are renewing vows, recently married, friends and family. It all counts as the same. Congrats to them as well. So I'm super excited to get into this episode, and when we come back, you'll know what it is. The blog Music Art Culture. Dominique, keep listening. Hey, for those of you who don't know, October is Bullying Prevention Month. Yeah, that's right. There is actually a month dedicated to stop bullying. And there's a website. The government has put together a website that addresses concerns, not just for parents, not just for teachers, but for our community, to establish safe boundaries and how to identify when someone's being bullied and or if someone is bullying others, which is also very important. So if you're not aware, I want to make sure that you know the Music Art Culture Education Foundation is holding an anti-bullying contest. Now, you do have to be a Southern California resident and in grades 6 through 8 in order to participate. To see all rules, head over to musicartculture.org under our new events tab. You can register using the form, submit your short essay, and if your person wins, they get to get a prize. So check it out. Head over to the website now and get involved. We want to highlight young learners for how they feel about friendship, the importance of not being a bully, and ways that they can stop it, and ways that they can be a leader in making change happen in their community, starting at their school, with their friends, in their families. Check out the blog Music Art Culture. For more information, head over to our website. I'm Dominique, and thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the blog Music Art Culture. So for those of you who are not aware, NBC News anchor Megyn Kelly, well, former NBC News anchor Megyn Kelly, was in the news, and for good reason. That was her job, right? I mean, she started over at a few other networks. She made her way over to NBC. People loved her. And she actually had a good run. Her show initially started September 25th of last year. And it was recently canceled due to her recent comments that she made on the program regarding the use of blackface. So as of October 26th, NBC officially announced that Megyn Kelly Today is out. Now, on one hand, she had a good year in 1 month for that show. So congrats to the team on that. But it's really interesting. I was able to take a look at the controversial episode because I wanted to see it for myself. I saw it in the news. The comments were seen as offensive and inappropriate. And after the controversial show aired, Andy Lack, chairman of NBC News, reflected on the events by releasing in his statement, and this is a paraphrase, not the whole statement, but I quote, "There is no place on the air or in this workplace for them," end quote. So why is this important? This is what we want to dive into. Some of what I'm reading off are just top things that, if you're not familiar with the situation, maybe you would want to know. And then we're going to dip into why they are seen or felt as controversial. Moving on, Megyn Kelly is no stranger to issues on racial controversy. During her time on another network, the on-air anchor, stated during a particular segment that she was doing for the other show, quote, "For all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white, and Jesus was a white man too," end quote. Megyn Kelly proposed on her recently canceled show that blackface and other costumes that may be perceived offensive by others should not be considered a legitimate offense. Since that show, she has apologized for her insensitive remarks. Her apology did not affect the network's decision to cancel the show, but it is noteworthy to say that she did apologize. For anyone who has not seen it and you would like to see it, I recommend that you Google it just to keep some perspective in mind of how the conversation unraveled and how it started. And I definitely want to have a discussion with you listeners out there on not necessarily if you agree, but what someone of that stature, because it's been reported that Megyn Kelly was actually the highest paid anchor for that network, which is NBC. She was the highest paid anchor on NBC, and she was making comments about blackface and how she legitimately, initially, in the moment of making those comments, did not see it as being offensive. And so what I pose is that we have a discussion about re-educating our communities and those in our social circles about why things are offensive and why some may project an image that they have lack of a clear understanding on why it's not okay. So, in other words, this group may be offended because, and this group thinks it is okay because, and then we fill in the blanks there. Now, I saw the episode. Basically, it started off a lot of fun. Everybody was talking how they felt about costumes, how they felt that now they're becoming very regulated. Some of the costumes on the show that they were talking about had to do with Anne Frank. People thought that that was inappropriate, and there was a particular university who was, they had a list. They're like, hey, we don't want our students wearing this. They can't dress up as cowboys. Why? Because it's culturally or deemed racially offensive to some. I believe it was a British school that said that they didn't want to see the use of cowboys. Well, the image of cowboy is associated with, you know, an idea that some may find offensive, like the Marlboro Man, things like that. There's ideologies that go with that, and people and organizations are now being very culturally aware and socially aware of the images that they project. So on the show, they talked about the cowboy. They talked about Anne Frank. There were costumes for that. They talked about the caricature of a Spanish person, like with the sombrero, the lei. Just things that are racially offensive. Someone with a tequila bottle in their hand dressed like they're, you know, I don't know what image that is, but it's clear that the garb that was used in the dress, it was attached to a Spanish-speaking type of culture. So it some may find it offensive. They also talked about some dressing up as nuns. The conversation took a turn, and I think, from my perspective, someone on the outside looking in, the panel, they were having an open discussion, as people need to do. People need to be able to discuss how they feel about things that they see in their communities and in their cultures. And one of the panelists was saying that in America, it is the freedom of speech. We have a right to reflect how we feel, whether other people like it or not. But the individual did suggest that if someone is bold enough to wear something like a Nazi uniform that clearly others would find offensive, they should be able to take the criticism that comes with it. And, you know, that during their banter, there were a lot of things said, and she made the comment that, you know, her and maybe one of her co-workers or someone from somewhere she knows, they'll dress up as the letter F and U. And then she proceeded to say how, you know, blackface should be okay. Although people see it as being offensive, who wouldn't want to be Diana Ross? And that's where I had to pause. Now, I think it's important that we have this conversation about cultural identity, because when you have someone like Diana Ross, she's beautiful, she's an icon for a lot of reasons, not just in fashion, not just known for her music, but she was a pioneer. She married Berry Gordy, who started Motown Records in Detroit, and later, you know, he went on to sign the Jackson 5, which is, of course, you know, Michael Jackson. There's a lot of great artists that came out of there, like Stevie Wonder. The list goes on. So for me, as a woman of color, a young woman of color, the spirit of admiration towards a human being is understandable if you admire that. Now, there is a deeper conversation that needs to happen as to why it's offensive. And for those who don't have an understanding of historically what blackface represents, we're going to get into that, because historically, initially, blackface was introduced in theater and entertainment circles really early, and it was a depiction of blacks in America at a very early stage that included a storyline that African Americans in America were not able to participate in. And it blackface was something that portrayed black people, but oftentimes you would have white actors that would dress in blackface, and at times then it later changed to black actors being forced to dress in blackface, and they would portray images and personalities of a stereotype that did not articulate a true full depiction of the African American experience as it was in the mind of an African American. But it was something that really played into slavery and other things that were somewhat demeaning. So it's about just having an understanding about history and an understanding about how to have a conversation about what's going on, because this is real and this is our society currently. And there are people who don't have a clear understanding of why it may be offensive, but it's our responsibility to open the conversation up and not be afraid to stop assuming that people should know, because sometimes they just don't. They just don't. And even if they do and reflect their lack of knowledge, we still need to have the conversation anyway. So keep listening to the blog Music Art Culture. I'm your host, Dominique LaRue. We're going to get back into it and start to open up the conversation. Let's keep it going. All right, thank you for hanging in there. It's me, your host, Dominique, for the blog Music Art Culture. I'm having a great time speaking with you all. Back to the conversation. If you're still listening, thank you. And I really want to inspire other people to have these conversations in their circles, in their social circles, and within their communities of people that they trust. Because to be totally honest, from the outside looking in, like many people who watched the controversial episode where Megyn Kelly defended blackface and then later apologized for her offensive comments, you're on the outside looking in. So you don't know what another person's life experiences have been You don't know where they come from, how they were raised. And so it's easy to get angry and inflamed about racially stimulated comments that are very clear and offensive to other groups that they are directed towards. But my perspective based on this conversation is we have to be willing to have the conversation to retrain the ideology that states we are America, we have the right to freedom of speech, and our right to freedom of speech will trump your right to anything that is identifiably you, and we don't care. Well, what does that mean? That means that if you are an individual and I do something that is offensive, either through racial offense or religious offense, I can hide behind my First Amendment right. But oftentimes people who offend other people and use the First Amendment to do so, rarely have I ever heard them be reminded that the person that they are offended possibly is also an American who has the right of the First Amendment as well. So what's important is that we're really teaching our young people that, yes, America is great. Yes, America is a place of freedom, a place of expressionism, a place of opportunity, and it is also a place of respect. And I think that is something that needs to be carried out when we are raising our young people, that we include in the conversation why America is great. And we can't allow the First Amendment to not be, which again, the First Amendment is freedom of speech. We cannot allow the First Amendment to be taken from us by creating offenses, because what's beautiful, in my opinion, if we think of the freedom of speech, is the ability to be heard, right? The freedom of speech grants individuals the ability to be heard. And it encompasses a lot of other things too. We can learn, we can establish schools. We can establish, you know, at first back in the day, way back in the day before my time, way before my time and a lot of others, okay, there was something called apprenticeships. Apprenticeships. I think I might be missing some syllables, but I'll try it one more time. Apprenticeships. Apprentice. Okay, we'll start there. Apprentice. Yes, apprentice, where you would study under someone in a particular field, and that was the equivalent of, if just to give a comparison, of a doctorate or a PhD or a master's degree or a bachelor's degree or an associate's degree, based on your ability to perform the work and how you worked with that person you trained under, right? All of the great inventors had apprentices. Well, who were they? They were Edison. They were Jefferson. Yes. They had people who worked under them who learned what they were doing, and they built on what they were doing. And that has a lot to do with the freedom of speech, because if we look at early colonialism and why people choose to migrate, oftentimes they are being denied their basic rights, their basic abilities that have to do with the freedom of speech. The freedom of speech is a wonderful right because it allows you the ability to think and be heard, right? What you're speaking is a reflection of your mind. What you envision for yourself in your mind is a reflection of how you see yourself in society. And when you speak it into existence, the next step is action. So it validates your freedom of speech, validates your right to choose and for you to be a part of your environment and your surroundings, and your words reflect how you decide you want to be visible, how you want to be heard. And it's really a great example of why America is great. Now, let's be clear, I'm not defending offensive speech because, as I did mention, I am a woman and I also am a woman of color, and the color has nothing to do with it, but it's just a basic human right to want to be heard. And so I think what's really necessary is that we equally examine who we are and who we want to be in these conversations about culture, in these conversations about life, in these conversations about what is appropriate, in these conversations about who gets to depict what is okay and who gets to depict what a culture looks like and how they are represented. And I see how people could be offended because it's a conversation about becoming something for one day, right? Let's just take it at what it is. It's face value. Boom. It's Halloween. I can be anything I want to be for one day. It's okay. Now, given the creativity of some, that could mean anything. That could be a dentist. That could be Albert Einstein. That could be, you know, the Queen of England. That could be a cowboy. It could be a number of things, but I think the greater understanding is knowing when not to cross the line. And when we don't have these conversations, that line is never defined. And so bringing it to the initial issue, not just, let's take it beyond blackface, dressing up as someone or something that ignites terror. Boom. That is the question. Actually, that was a statement. Now, the question is it okay? Dressing up as something or someone that ignites terror, is that okay? Is it appropriate to show up? Let's just keep it so transparent. Is it appropriate to show up at a preschool dressed as Michael Myers? Is it appropriate? And there might be some kids that might truthfully not even be afraid of that mask because they don't even understand. But let's take it even a step further. Is it appropriate to show up at a preschool dressed as Freddy Krueger and greet the children with that pizza face and those long knife claw hands? Is that appropriate, or is that terrorizing and menacing? I will take 3 seconds and let you reflect in silence. And now, if I were to share my opinion personally, I would think it was very inappropriate. It's menacing to show up to terrify. It's menacing to dress or reflect an image of something that you would on any other day of your life not reflect or embrace or embody 365 days of the year, but you choose one day to exemplify that image and embrace it, and it's something that causes terror and incites fear and or makes others question who you are and your identity, then definitely it can be caused into question. So we're going to leave that there, and we're going to get into some other things when it comes to cultural appropriation, because these are a lot of terms that are being thrown out. These are things that are being in our news as hot topics and things that deserve attention. But one thing that is really important as a community, as a global community, that they just not become words, and that we as a community, local, global, statewide, nationwide, are educating, continuing to educate one another on the reasons why these things, these issues are relevant in how certain choices and decisions can be deemed offensive. So let's keep the conversation going. Thank you for listening to the blog Music, Art, Culture. I'll be back. All right. Thank you for hanging in there. This is your host, Dominique, for the blog Music, Art, Culture. We are having a really good conversation. Follow us on Instagram at Music, Art, Culture. And you can also follow us on Twitter, tweet, at MACEF Public Arts. Again, on social media, Twitter, at MACEF Public Arts, and on Instagram at Music Art Culture. We're having a full conversation. It's not just about NBC, Megyn Kelly, and the blackface comments. No, it's actually a really larger conversation. It's about, is your Halloween costume appropriate? The importance of free speech and what it means when other people are using it as a way to embrace self-indulgence, even if it is offensive. And a little background about cultural appropriation and blackface. So what we've talked about, you know the points if you've been listening. If you want to hear more of what we just said, you can always go back. But we're going to keep it moving on the conversation, because what we are doing is talking about ways to address these types of things happening in our communities, in our social circles, in a way that doesn't invigorate hate, but allows those opposing ideas that we can use the First Amendment, freedom of speech, as a way to incite fear, incite violence, incite terror, and it be okay because the First Amendment is law here in America. And why is it important? Well, we have a culture of young people who are very articulate. They have a lot of ideas and they are social media savvy. So we have issues like bullying that are happening inside and outside of the classroom. And we have issues that have to deal with self-image when it comes to body image, when it comes to things that have to do with beauty, when it comes to issues of intelligence. We are facing a lot of different issues. And then, of course, we have, well, just life, right? Life happens, and people have a right to form opinions about how they feel based on their experiences. And what we want to do is make sure that we embrace those differences with our counterparts, with the listening ear, so that way we can reflect a perspective that sheds light and gives them a deeper sense of value as to why a person or a group of people may feel a certain way about an action that they might deem offensive. And it's a deeper conversation to have, because people might just say, okay, well, the issue is very isolated. It's her opinion. It's about Halloween. It's about someone who doesn't see it as offensive because they are not representing a group that is out to incite offense. And that's a very valid point, but that's one perspective. And the other perspective is that person might not be with a group who is inciting offense, but that does not negate the fact that statements are made every day and they might be legitimately offensive to a people or to a person, and that we as a community of individuals have a undeniable right to understand and explore what freedom of speech means and how to protect it so that others are not feeling assaulted by someone's action based on their freedom of speech, that someone is not being terrorized based on someone's action of their freedom of speech, and that someone is not being, bullied or or made to feel any less than based on someone else's being and display of their freedom of speech. And again, it goes right back to respect. America, and for those who don't know, America, First Amendment right is freedom of speech, right? We've talked about that. But it's about protecting what that freedom is and what it means to someone else so that we can have a point of solidarity and camaraderie and respecting one another enough to say, I might feel this and I can express this without inciting fear, without inciting violence, without inciting anything that might be translated as something disrespectful to you. And that's okay. And that's a larger conversation that we need to have. So, you know, it's amazing because one of the issues that happens when things like this come up, when we're talking about race, when we're talking about ethnic when we're talking about race or when we're talking about ethnic rules and how people view other ethnicities, it can become a big cluster of ideas, right? Because it's very hard to define who someone is when you're not looking from their perspective. So these conversations are very important. You know, I can't comment on a religion if I've never participated in it. If I'm not familiar with what it takes to have a PhD, it wouldn't make very, very good sense for me to comment on the validity of not having one. You know, same thing. If I've never had an experience, it just would be very foolish of me to think that I can speak on what that experience might be without reflecting on how others have lived through the experience and come out through the other side or stayed within that realm of the experience, depending on what the experience is. So we have to definitely not be afraid to educate one another and really just be aware of ourselves. So we've already talked and we took that 3-second break to reflect on if the question was, is it appropriate if you dress as Freddy Krueger at a preschool? Is it appropriate to show up as Freddy Krueger or Michael Myers at a preschool filled with children? My answer is no. And even though someone has the right to do so, they have their right to expressionism, that's not a very appropriate image to greet young, innocent children with to incite fear and violence. So my take on that, it would be kind of perverse, right? Why would I want to scare a child who is not really experienced in the world, who doesn't understand that the background of what those images represent, but yet they're fearful and they're disturbing and they don't even have the whole story, right? They've never even seen the movie, but yet those images are very disturbing. So the larger question goes to the individual who would like to participate on that kind of level. And there is no right or wrong answer, but there is the conversation that takes place among, I would hope, one's inner circle to correct whatever the behavior is that that reflects a mentality that is okay with assaulting people, either verbally or physically or mentally, through a series of images that might be considered legitimately offensive. And that's something on a deeper level. So yeah, we're gonna keep digging into that, and we'll touch on a few other points too. Cultural appropriation, things like blackface, why they make some uncomfortable, why some like to participate, and how some just don't like to comment either way because they don't want to take sides. We'll be back. Keep listening to the blog Music Art Culture. I'm your host, Dominique. All right, thank you for hanging in there. You know who this is, your host, Dominique, for the blog Music Art Culture. And we are back to keep the conversation going, and we're just going to jump on in there and start talking about cultural appropriation. So this is something that continues to become a talking point, but sometimes it really spikes at certain points in the culture where people... And when I mean the culture, I mean social culture. It's not just in America. It's everywhere. When a certain group is seen as something of a bit of a caricature or a mime experience, or in these days, meme experience, that people want to have a conversation to make sure that we are being racially sensitive and ethnically sensitive to the differences in our mainstream culture. And that's why cultural appropriation is an important topic. So let's just kind of briefly explore it. For those of you who don't know, it's actually something pretty interesting because in recent times, Bruno Mars was actually accused of cultural appropriation. And for those of you who love Bruno Mars like me, I love Bruno Mars. He's a very talented singer. He is, I believe, from Hawaii. And he tends to sing, his music is pop, but it's also kind of rooted in R&B soul. And so he was accused of projecting cultural... It's really hard to get into because everybody can be offended. Anybody has the right to say that they are offended, and they can legitimately be offended. But there are some who felt that Bruno Mars, after his Grammy win, was an artist that was doing a certain type of music deemed as culturally relevant to African American, like soul music, R&B. And he was rewarded for those things through his Grammys, through his accolades, that those within the culture, African Americans, were not rewarded for based on his recent Grammy wins and his accolades. And so saying all that to say, it was a really big thing because if you're familiar with it, the story, there were a lot of well-known R&B artists who really came to the front lines of his defense and said, hey, you know, this kid is talented. He can sing. He's been singing all his life. He's been singing a variety of music. He does well. I've worked with him personally. You know, the songs that he sang, he does write his own music, Bruno Mars does, but he's also collaborated with other artists as well. And they were equally as offended as Bruno was for people to assume that he is not authentically himself when he performs his art. And that was a great statement and a great teaching period because these things happen, you know, and it's really important because when you have like a melting culture like Los Angeles, you have Chinatown, you have Koreatown, you have Little Ethiopia, you have Little Armenia, you have, you know, all these different pockets across the greater Los Angeles area that pay tribute to a lot of different cultures, and other cultures come and pay tribute to those cultures by, you know, dining in their restaurants, buying from their merchants. And I'm not just talking about like the major commercial retailers. I'm talking about the mom and pop front end stores, diners, whatever they might sell that they import from certain areas, things like soaps and calendars and, you know, pottery and dishware, cookware, things like that, that are seen as delicacies and or just our original artworks. You know, we actively participate. So it's an interesting conversation to have. And it's always very important to be able to identify why it's important to continue to just have conversations of why things might be offensive. Now, when it comes to cultural appropriation, I'm not going to use this as a platform to be the, the cultural police on what's okay and what isn't okay, what's acceptable and what's not, but it just really requires that people are just very aware and inclusive. One thing that I love about Los Angeles is that's one thing we embody very well. We are a California culture of diversity. And so I can have a best friend with a very different background, and I can have, a cultural experience that is not my own, and I can associate and be respectful to those things that are not of my own, unique nucleus as a human being, and I can engage in that experience. And there might be certain things that I don't know about those particular cultures and why things might be offensive. There are certain cultures where you have to wash your hands whenever you eat. Like before you eat, you need to wash your hands. There are certain cultures you don't step in the house with your shoes on. Once you get in the house, you take off your shoes. It's a sign of respect. There are certain cultures where you don't show the bottom of or the sole of your foot, the bottom of your foot, because it's considered disrespect. And we can go on and on, but to keep it in the realm of where we are, and in regards to the First Amendment, when we don't have these talking points, we lose the opportunity to teach and educate ourselves on why we are uniquely beautiful. Why are we diverse? Well, this is why, because we have different experiences, and our experiences within our culture and outside our culture reflect a universal truth that we need to be actively coherent in articulating a picture that is a true reflection of what something actually is. And all that means is, hey, this is what this culture represents. This is what these people represent. This is what this society represents. And we can look at these things from a clear perspective, then we can get an understanding of who we are, who they are, and how we can enter into a blended being of cohesiveness that is filled with acceptance and respect. And it helps to alleviate some of the confusion that comes out when you have people that legitimately may not understand why things like racially suggestive costumes or ethnically suggestive costumes or even religious costumes might be offensive to a particular group. And it's a well lesson to be learned, because could you imagine if you hadn't been told something your whole life and now you're on a college campus or you're at your first sleepover, right, as a child, or you've joined your first club, or you're on an activity and now you are displaying behaviors that maybe are just not clear to someone else because they don't share that experience. It's a great way to have the conversation while you have the opportunity to, so that way when you're exposed on another level that opens you up to another type of experience, you can really have the right mindset, which is to say, hey, these are how people reflect and feel and associate and experience life, and my job as a human being is to experience it with them in the truth of who they are, but also in the truth of who I am. So when it comes down to things like cultural appropriation, when it comes down to things like bullying, okay, these are very important topics. They're very important things to discuss culturally, socially because their implications have a greater effect on society and the way that we treat each other in our own communities. So we have to always be willing to break the barriers and look outside of our own opinions to discover how someone else feels, so that way we can clear the air, you know, build a bridge and have a proper understanding about who we are and how we need to interact and project in this world. And yes, like, share, tweet, follow, join the conversation. I'll be sure to post some of our conversation tops. I call them tops because it's kind of like topics, but then also top talking points. So our tops, yeah. I'll be sure to post some of it on social media, and I am having a great time conversing with you. So let's keep it going for our final thoughts before we close out. But definitely, interesting. Oh, stay tuned. The Blog Music Art Culture. We're almost out of here, but not yet. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back shortly.
"23andMe" gives everyday people like you and I the opportunity to learn more about our genetic makeup. Discover more about what makes you identifiably you. Order your kit now at 23andMe.com or pick one up at your local Target store. It's time to meet your genes. I did it, and it was one of the best decisions I ever made. I was able to find out things about myself that my parents couldn't even tell me and that my doctor never thought to tell me. I'll give you a perfect example. I did the results for genetics and for the health. So I learned why I like coffee so much. I learned that I'm also a great candidate for long distance running. And it was perfect because it helped me get through my first LA marathon. And I'm working on my second right now. The process is simple. Once you get your kit, open the tube and spit. Seal it, mail it, and wait for your results. It's easy. For more information, visit 23andMe.com for offers and details.
All right, I want to thank you all for listening for this episode today, listening to this episode today. I am very grateful for those of you who do tune in and listen to the Blog Music Art Culture. We are very interested in hearing and learning more about our listeners and also those in our local community. So feel free to reach out to us if you have an interesting story that you would like to share with our audience. Please feel free to send us an email. Ooh, caps to get it out. Have to get it out. The struggle is real today, ladies and gentlemen. I am actually a little stuffy. If you haven't heard it through the podcast, God bless you. If you've heard it, thank you for bearing with me. And believe it or not, I've already taken some medicine, something to clear it out, and vitamin C. I've taken lots of that. So believe it or not, I am feeling better. But if it was obvious at any point during this podcast, I do apologize. I hope that you could hear and understand me clearly as I hope to be heard and heard correctly. But definitely reach out. If you want to be a part of the podcast, if you have an interesting story you would like to share or give your perspective on a topic that we've covered, send us over an email. Send it to info@musicartculture.org. Again, that's @musicartculture. Oh, yes, that's on Instagram, @musicartculture. And then head over to Twitter, @MACEF Public Arts. You can inbox me there as well, and we'll be sure to reach out to you to make sure that you are heard, and we'll respond. Again, you can send that email to info@musicartculture.org. And I've enjoyed having this conversation about culture, appropriation, what the importance of the First Amendment right means, which is freedom of speech, and how we should definitely use our freedom of speech as an opportunity to reflect and project images and opinions and ideologies that do not embark upon someone else's right in a way that doesn't allow them to be heard. And definitely being able to have the conversation within our safe circles, within our social circles, and within our communities. Because again, really the whole idea or the premise of this episode is just to make sure that we keep a healthy conversation about how others might be offended if they represent a group, and how we, if we are not within that group, should be aware of how not to offend. And given some of the recent things that we've been seeing socially and culturally, regardless of where you are in the globe or in the states or your local province, depending on where you are in the world, you always have to be an advocate of humanity. And simply what that means is when it comes to respecting another human being, we have to be aware that whether they are actively displaying their dislike or disgust with something that you're doing that is seen offensive, we should be very curious and wanting to discuss and learn more about how not to be offensive. And that's something that takes bravery and it takes courage. We have to understand there are some things we just won't understand because we have never had a particular experience. And in the case of things like Halloween, which make it the most appropriate to talk about, right? Dressing up in costumes and things like that. We don't want to use that as an excuse to offend or be offensive. And it's really important that if you work with others or have neighbors that are of a certain group that you are or not a part of, you be sensitive. Because we are a community of people and we are global citizens. Yes, we are global citizens, people, believe it or not. And we operate within our local levels, right? So we have to definitely take the right of the First Amendment to the next level, which is to respect and acknowledge others as they also have a right to be heard through freedom of speech. And it should not be used as a way to assault or offend, but as a way to unite and inspire. So take that with you for this episode of the blog Music Art Culture. I hope you found it as enjoyable as I did. I'm definitely going to go make some hot tea right now. I definitely could not miss the opportunity to connect with you all as listeners. So I hope that you meet me in my enthusiasm, and I will come back to you next week healthy and whole, I promise you. For those in California, we have something very, 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 very special coming up, and it is almost that time to vote. Yeah, you know what it is. Time to vote. So just remember, as long as you've registered, you have the opportunity to be heard and express your views. So, you know, just go a little crazy and make sure you show up. Give yourself enough time to either come in late to work or call off from work and stand in line with your coffee and maybe offer a stranger a bagel or two and get comfortable. Read those initiatives and get in that ballot box and vote, you know? Get heard. I'm not telling you how to do it. You know what you're going to do. So just do it. Don't neglect your First Amendment right. Freedom of speech. Use it. Make sure you head to the polls. See you next week. It's your host, Dominique, for the blog Music Art Culture. Love you all. Be safe. Till next time. Bye-bye.